I don't know what the hell's going on in the most wonderful way.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Rima.
And I'm Kristen.
And I'm Lucy.
And this is the Walking Dead Cast, episode 319, The Women of Podcastica. Jason Woo-hoo! Is tied up in another room, and the rest of the men we've already slayed. So it's only yes. us ladies in the house.
We have taken
it's
over.
Fantastic.
All right.
Ladies night. And the feelings wrap. Ladies.
Sorry. Exactly. So, Lucy.
What happened was we got here. Karen said, Jason, I want to show you something in the garden. Then she said, look at the flowers. And then Jason just didn't come back for a bit. So we assume he's fine.
Right.
But, you know, she was a bit vague when she came back.
So. Yeah. We don't ask. We don't ask questions.
We don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
Just blowing off the smoke off my lady pistol.
Yeah. Nice. I like how pink it is, Karen. Did you get that custom? Or
I totally expected something else when you were saying that. Sorry.
Woo! Lucy, can you tell us why we are doing this episode and how it came about?
Well, we are here because on March the 6th, 2018... at Mayo Artist / Mark Anthony Miranda, a listener to Fear the Walking Dead cast and the Walking Dead cast, tweeted to me, hearing yourself and Jason speak about equal pay for women in cinema makes me really think I would love a Women of Podcastica show, even a single episode. It wouldn't matter to me if it was about favourite shows, current issues or whatever. It would be fun and a great perspective. So, Mark Anthony, ask and we shall deliver. And that is why we are here today doing this episode for you. Only 3 or 4 months after you originally asked for it. So that's pretty quick.
It's actually pretty quick. It took us a while to figure out everybody's schedules because we're on a couple of different continents. But yes, we figured it out and we are here and it is Friday. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And so I thought maybe we could go into some quick fire introductions, how we came to be here and what sort of relationship we have to The Walking Dead. So for me, I'm with The Walking Dead cast, have been for a couple years now, and that's pretty much it. I'm not the only podcaster in my house, though. Dave is also a podcaster, my husband, with Westworld, and sometimes dipping into other podcasts as well. How about you, Rima?
Man, Karen, you are short selling yourself. What do you mean just on The Walking Dead cast? You are right? Amazing. I mean, seriously, you make my day. You
Thanks,
are
girlfriend.
Probably, yeah, like totally, you know, you guys are a team. I get it. Jason does his thing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But, you know, it's good when you're there. Trust me. So don't
Thanks,
short sell yourself.
Dang, okay. That is a lesson for all of us. All of us out there listening. Don't short sell yourself.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yes.
Blowing you so. Kisses. Okay, so just my quick little introduction. I have a podcast on the Podcastica Network, which is, you know, the same network that Jason has for Walking Dead cast and other awesome podcasts that we have on the Podcastica Network called Strange Indeed. But I have been just absolutely honored to have guested in your place sometimes, Karen, and mm-hmm. sometimes for you, Lucy, as well, on Fear, when that is mm-hmm. currently on. I've had that pleasure to guest a couple of times, and it has been just an amazing experience, and I'm happy to be here.
Ooh. Thanks, son. Kristen?
I am really excited because I've never been on Walking Dead cast yet, and so
which is crazy,
really exciting.
One episode to start with.
I've had butterflies in my stomach all day because I've been really excited about it. What? But yeah, aww. I mean, I got my start obviously on the Game of Thrones podcast earlier last year, last fall, that, you know, that's going to continue one of these days. And I also just started a Lost rewatch podcast with Ben through his through Ben Beck, amazing, through his network and through podcast. It's both of the networks. And I was a big time super fan of the Walking Dead cast and Walking Dead and, you know, proper and Fear the Walking Dead and blah, blah, blah. So I'm just excited.
I'm a super fan of you. Can I ask, where are you at now in the Lost podcast?
We just finished episodes, I think, 9 and 10, Solitary and Raised by Another.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah, they're really good. And what was really cool about it was that I felt like both of those episodes could have made up like a 2-hour episode. Like they both went very much hand in hand, which was nice.
Yeah.
But we're still in season one, and I invite any of you ladies to come and guest whenever you want. You name the episode, please come on. I would love to have you. And Ben's fine with it too.
Oh, you know which episode I want? If I can if I can make a request. Trisha Tanaka is dead.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
It's yours.
Favorite episode of Lost of all time, and I can still bring tears to my eyes. I love it so much.
I was reading an article today that had The Constant was rated one of like the best episode of anything ever in the world, and I got a bit emotional because I was like, oh yeah, that was a really good episode.
It was. I cry every time on The Constant. Yep. One of my favorites.
Yep. Oh. David does too. He loves it when, you know, I mean, he loves the Penny. Penny and what is his name?
Desmond.
Yes.
Oh, Desmond.
Yes.
Desmond. They're romanced. Man, it's good. It's really good.
What can
good.
I say? Bearded Scottish men on boats. It's good.
It's really good.
I was really happy when what's his name? Henry Ian Cusick, right? Mm-hmm. When he was on Scandal, and then he was on The 100. Which, if you're not watching The 100, that's a really fun show, and he's on it. Great. He's a main character.
Ooh,
he's a main character.
Does he keep his accent?
No, he doesn't.
Say, I'm in. I'm in with the accent.
Nice. I am American.
Speaking of accents, Lucy, my dear, do you want to give us a little background on you?
Of course. Long-time listener. I've been listening to you guys, Jason and Karen, since 2013, 2014-ish. Been watching the show since the first season. And in the last year, since about halfway through the last season of the Game of Thrones podcast, I've been on and off guesting with Jason and Rima and Lara as well at various points. Now I'm co-hosting Fear the Walking Dead cast, which is coming back in just over a week's time. I've made a big note to myself to remember to mention that because last time I didn't. So yeah, Fear the Walking Dead cast coming back to some earbuds near you. And that's my deal with it. But I was wanting to ask all of you, except Karen, because it's kind of a question about Karen. How many of you, and you can answer at home as well by raising your hand, how many of you were attracted to the Walking Dead cast initially because there was a female co-host?
That's a good question.
Because my hand is up.
My hand is up.
One of the things that got me here. Yeah.
Yes. My hand is way high, touching the sky.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, yeah. That is awesome to hear. How interesting. Yep. I didn't know that. And actually, that thought didn't even occur to me. Although, I look for podcasts that have women on them. Personally, yeah. I really, really like it. I'm listening to one right now called Hysteria. There's a bunch of ladies, but there's a lot of really, really good ones out there. And so I absolutely seek it out, but I'm amazed that you guys, sought it out as well. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was really, I mean, I found when I first came into the fandom and sort of the fringes of podcasts, cause this was probably also one of the first podcasts I really got into. It was hard to find a podcast that wasn't predominantly male, and at that point I wasn't very like woke in terms of feminism or gender politics, but I knew that the things I liked about The Walking Dead were not the same things that my partner liked about The Walking Dead, and it was interesting to me to be able to hear a balance. And I think that's what kept me coming back to The Walking Dead cast again and again, is that nice balance that you and Jason have of seeing different things. And it's not as easy as, like, you know, oh, Karen sees all the lovey-dovey stuff and Jason just likes battles, because it's not like that. No. But I do think sometimes it does bring, and I've certainly found in my own appearances on podcasts, it has occasionally brought different things to the fore, and that's always quite interesting.
Yeah, you can agree with that. I could totally agree with that. I know that when I first started listening to Walking Dead cast, you know, I was kind of a lot like you, Lucy, in the way that you're explaining it, that I wouldn't call myself like woke or anything or a feminist. But like the more that Karen actually would bring it up, the more it brought to my attention when, you know, women were being left out or women were being raised up. And through that, I feel like, you know, I've made friendships with people that that kind of think that way. And over the years, it's been one of those things that now I am like a huge flag carrier of women and not pitting each other against each other, which I think is something that we do too often as women.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Thandie Newton recently had an article where she said that we've been conditioned that way to pit ourselves against each other to make us weaker. And I really, 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 that really resonated with me. And so I love having the women as the balance on most of the podcasts in the show, with the exception of Westworld cast. But that is my favorite podcast right now. So I have nothing bad to say about Westworld cast at all. But I have noticed that all the other podcasts are this really great balance of men and women. And the women in every single podcast bring just as much, if not more, to the shows and to the episodes.
Can I just say that for Westworld cast, my very favorite episode of theirs, I mean, and these are like my two favorite guys, Jason and David, obviously they're my favorites, but my very favorite episode was when they had Jenny on.
Oh, me too.
Oh, Jenny's amazing.
She's so freaking smart and funny and insightful. Yep. And she brought a little bit of sparkle and some kind of little magic to the podcast. And I was like, I even texted Jason afterwards. I'm like, have Jenny on again. Can you have Jenny on again?
She's amazing.
I know she lives there. Have her on again.
I put she that in the really comments. I said I wanted her to be on the very next one too.
She has an amazing like analytical scientific mind that I just don't have. And I think the way she sees things like on American Godcast and things is just so insightful. I completely agree. I always love when Jenny's on because I think she's just so wise.
Yes. Like, yeah, she is. She's a scientist. It makes perfect, it makes perfect sense. Plus, she's funny and she's got like this great laugh. And I think like David and Jason get super super into the weeds, and and David has, you know, both of them have these real deep voices. So it's fun to hear a female presence on it. It just is wonderful. It sort of rounds it all out.
I would agree.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Although, Karen, your husband is just, he is my favorite part of the Westworld cast. He's so, like, he brings up stuff where I'm like, oh my gosh, I did not even think about that. Like, his knowledge on music is second to none.
I cannot wait to tell him that. He'll be so stoked to hear it. He'll be stoked. And then he'll dismiss it and decide that, you know, he's terrible at taking compliments. A lot of people have read it.
I think the thing is as well, and I'm sure you guys will agree, and I promise you that we're not getting paid to say this, we're quite lucky in that in Jason we have someone who will listen and take things on board, which for a lot of people, I'm not saying men specifically, but in a lot of situations is hard for people to do, whereas I know Jason and I have had discussions where we've misconstrued each other or we've gone away and thought about it and come back, and I find that so rewarding because there's so much shouting nowadays and people not listening, and I just think these podcasts are such a great forum to talk about some of those issues that make people shout and make people crazy and angry, and to have someone who's patient and willing to listen in that sense I think is really valuable. So Podcastica's Grandlord, Supreme Founder, Jason,
is
the Godfather himself, blessed be his name, is is a pretty cool guy for doing that and for encouraging us to do this podcast as well. So
absolutely. He's without a doubt one of the kindest people I've ever known.
Yeah,
just genuine, sincere, kind. Very, very. I love it that I know him, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's not just the whiskey talking.
Yeah.
The whiskey guys, sorry.
Or the pot.
Oh, love it. It's all fine. We're all good. Stay cool, kids.
So in general, do you get any sort of interesting reactions being a woman who likes the zombie genre and I don't know, you know, you all like sort of maybe rollicking action adventure kind of things. So do you get any feedback from that?
So, not like you used to whenever I was younger, because I mean, you guys were talking a little bit about, you know, how all of us, you know, love Karen's perspective on The Walking Dead and any woman's perspective on something that could be typically considered like male centric or more appealing to males. Whenever I was younger, I was definitely a big nerd, big geek with like comic book stuff and horror movies, and but I didn't communicate that a lot because it was like considered a boy thing. So, you know, I kind of just kept it to myself. I still enjoy those things, but I didn't like talk to other people about it. I just kind of did it on my own. And times have certainly really changed where it's kind of cool to be a nerd now, and not just a nerd, but you can be a male or female nerd and be accepted and be open to talking about these things. Like, we have our awesome group and we have these podcasts and we're able to, and of course, you know, social media has actually been, I think, a positive in this. If it, you know, it can be a negative sometimes, but in a positive way, it, you know, brings out like a community, like, wow, there are other females that share this. And so that is one thing that did, you know, draw to me. The Walking Dead cast was one of the first podcasts for me as well. And seeing Karen as a co-host, I thought, oh, good, a female perspective too. I want to hear both sides, because there's something valuable from both sides that can be brought to the table and their opinions. So, you know, I think I think there is, you know, value in that. And I did seek it out and made me want to listen. And of course, you listen one time. All you got to do is listen to one time, right? One episode of Jason and Karen together and you're freaking hooked. it's the gateway drug. So, you know.
Once you're bit, you don't go back.
That's right. I was bit and I was
you're
gone
infected.
And done. So, you know, just I don't see it as much anymore. It's very little that I get any kind of like, what, you like zombies or horror movies or comic book stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, days gone by. Yes, I used
nice.
To.
Nice. Nice.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. Excellent little shout out. I used to get it, too. And it's funny because not many people even know I had a podcast. I would sort of keep it to myself. And every once in a while, I would trot it out at like a party or at work or something, just to see people's reactions. And I'm, you know, I'm just some schmo that, you know, I'm just minding my own business, being a water conservation person here in California. And then it's really fun to say, yeah, I have a podcast. It's about zombies. And it's fun to watch people's heads turn around. That's kind of great.
It's like the record stops and everybody turns and stares.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think it's quite funny that sometimes the people you see the most, like workmates or family, are sometimes the ones who are most surprised by it. Like, I'm quite certain that my parents think something is quite fundamentally wrong with me, and they're like, so zombies, right? Is that one of your zombie things? And occasionally I'll catch them just sort of looking at me like, I mean, what is it about the zombies? I'm just like, I don't know, I just, you know, really like it.
Zombies are cool and they're funny.
They are cool. And I think it's, I don't know, I try a lot to come back to what it is about this fandom and this thing that keeps me coming back. And the only thing I can think of is when I was about 6 or 7, my dad and I watched made-for-TV version of Stephen King's The Stand, which was totally inappropriate viewing for a 7-year-old, but was like par for the course in our household. And I was just, I loved that post-apocalyptic wasteland of America and just thinking about all the things that would happen, would something like that happen? And I think, yeah, I think that's what I keep coming back to. And weirdly, I think getting more involved in fandom and podcasting, it's actually started to feed into my life in a really positive way now, in a way that it didn't maybe over the past few years, because as you guys know, I'm an academic, I'm finishing up my thesis at the moment. Woo. And the things that we talk about on the podcast, and things like questions about feminism and intersectionality and culture, they've really informed my practice as a teacher, and that's something that I'm really grateful for. And, you know, The Walking Dead's a huge part of that, and I use it as a teaching reference point wherever I can, because it is such a cultural phenomenon. And I think it has become easier as well, because the show and its treatment of women, I'm going to put a statement out there, you guys,
let's do it,
can agree or disagree. I think the treatment of women on the show has gotten much, much better, mm-hmm. as the show's gone on. Mm-hmm. Other things have gone downhill. Yeah. But in terms of how women are portrayed, I really think it's been an upward curve, that it's doing a lot of things that a lot of other shows aren't doing. And I find that really interesting.
So you're talking about the characters in general and not the actors.
Yeah, I think the way that the characters are treated by the script has mm-hmm. improved. I think the actors have as well. I think definitely they've grown into those roles, and, you know, we've seen them kind of go from strength to strength in that sense. But just when we compare, like, it always comes back to that when I'm talking about it with other women who have maybe dropped off the show or haven't stuck with it mm-hmm. for whatever reason, it always comes back to that scene in season one where they're sitting around the creek washing clothes,
yes.
while the men are hunting, and they're like, oh, I wish I had my vibrator, hee hee hee. And I'm just like, well, okay, legit concern, but also like,
it is a legit concern, you know? But is that will you
hi, Mom,
will you be able to
listening?
Get batteries in the zombie apocalypse?
Right, these are the things you would worry about. But people say, you know, it's come from that to having strong female leads within seasons kind of 6, 7, and 8, and to me that's impressive. That's something that keeps me invested in the show, for sure. And it makes being a female Z-head easier.
I agree with you completely. In the way that I mean two great examples, Michonne, mm-hmm. a fierce fighter and also capable of great kindness and great love mm-hmm. and strength in her relationships. She's strong and kind and wonderful. And Carol, another great warrior, mm-hmm. and saves the day more than once. Maggie, who I hope they don't take her down a really dark path. They might, yeah. But I hope not. I hope that she stays true to who she started out as. But one thing that I had a hard time with this year, and I want to bring this up with you all, is I had a freaking hard time with Negan. And it's a weird, not to bring politics into it, but this country is, feels a little more divided these days. And mm-hmm. We had the character of Negan come, and maybe that was just a timing thing for me, but I couldn't accept him. I had the hardest time with his swagger and his brutality, and it was hard for me as a woman in many ways to really just embrace him and love him. Did you feel that way?
Oh yeah. I think there's two things I would say to that, and then I'm gonna stop talking because I feel like I'm talking too much. Hang on, that's a really woman thing, isn't it? I think I'm speaking too much.
Oh,
so
my god. That is totally a
talking.
Female thing. Yeah, exactly. Embrace it, Lucy.
I think the two things are, one, there was an episode of Deadcast that I did with Jason where I think one of my points was Negan's language.
Yep.
And it wasn't the swearing, it was the sexualized language, yes. that I just can't handle. I hate when people use that kind of...
Yes.
And it's not to do with it being crude or vulgar. I'm not, you know, I can swear with the best mm-hmm. of them, and I'm not particularly polite in my language.
Fuck
it's
yeah.
this use of sort of... words and phrases that are particularly demeaning to women mm-hmm. to describe this conflict, and the way he sexualized Lucille, I just found that really inappropriate. And it's funny because I think this is... So issue 100, correct me if I'm wrong, was roughly 2011, 2012. And that's the issue where Negan enters and Glenn passes away, mm-hmm. passes away, gets beaten to death by a baseball bat.
Yeah, just clarifying.
And there's one of those things. Oh, yeah, spoiler alert. If you're only watching season one. And I think we gave Negan a lot of props at the time because we were like, oh, his one redeeming thing is that he doesn't rape. And I think now... that's not enough. I don't
he
think
he does
it was
rape
then.
Though.
He does. Yeah,
and
he does. That's the thing, I mean, doesn't he?
He rapes over and over and over again.
Yeah, and I think the way we conceive of it and the way we discuss it now is such that we're like, no, that's obviously not acceptable. That's completely fucked up. Like that's he says he doesn't, but he does, and it's all about power dynamics. So I think in that way, getting Negan on the screen was even more difficult because there is nothing redemptive there. Like, if they'd cast a less good-looking actor, I do think it would be even more difficult. Like, I don't mean, like, oh, he's a bit good-looking, so it's all fine. I just mean, like, he is...
Yes.
There's a charisma to Jeffrey Dean Morgan,
oh, yeah.
Like, undoubtedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think, yeah, the way that we've... In those years since that issue in Negan's arc, the way that we as women and as a society have started talking about those issues has changed, I think, and it's not acceptable anymore, and it never was, but now we're more open about it, and we're like, well, no, that's... You know, that's still the same thing. Mm-hmm. That's not okay. And I think it was you that brought it up, Karen, and I think when we were first introduced to his harem in, like, season 7, you were like, nope, that's coercion. That's not free will. That's not consent.
Right.
So, yeah, that's my 2 cents on Negan there.
I would 100% agree with both what you guys have said. I mean... I don't know really what I could possibly add to any of that. I don't know that the only part I guess maybe I would go back on that is I didn't really, like, with the reflection of today's politics, like you mentioned, Karen, I didn't let that kind of go into whenever I'm, because I'm strictly, whenever I'm watching something, it's purely for entertainment. I will totally own up to the fact that you're like, you know what, something can be really, like, I can watch something and it can be really bad. I can watch a really, really bad movie and people are like, how can you watch that? That's horrible. And I'm like, I just want to be entertained. You might not like it, but yeah. I just want to be entertained, because to me, the current climate can be so absolutely horrible that this is my escape. Yeah. And so I just completely, like, block all of that out. And I just want to be entertained. You might hate it. It might suck. And I mean, like, you, but the general you, whoever I'm talking to in that conversation, you know, it's like, you know, they're like, they start getting too analytical, or they start poking at it too much. I'm like, I just want to be entertained. My TV, my movies, the things that I watch, you know, a big action movie is a big horrible monster movie, like New Godzilla or something I was raving about on the Comic-Con podcast and stuff, you know. Yeah, there, a lot of them are terrible, but I love it. Yeah. And I just want to be entertained. So I try not to let too much of all the horrible stuff of the current climate filter in too much into my form of entertainment, my escapism. So, but everything else, I totally agree that I did have problems with the same things that you ladies did, but you just say it way better.
Not true. I think you said it exactly right.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. I don't mean to complain too much.
That's not a complaint.
That's such a lady thing to do too. I don't mean to complain.
Exactly. Apologizing.
It's fine.
Why are we apologizing? We're just
valid opinion.
Okay, next person to apologize has to buy everyone else a drink. So,
that means that we're all getting together then. So, yes. I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh,
has to happen. I'll get the
everybody
next
come to my house. Marg's on me.
Yes.
Wait, what state are you in?
North Carolina.
Oh, I love North Carolina so much.
So
I just moved to North Carolina. We're actually still in the middle of a move. I moved away from Virginia about 2-3 weeks ago, and I'm at my mom's house until our house is ready and we close escrow in about like a week and a half. So
nice.
Technically I'm homeless, but right now I'm in North Carolina.
We're in transition.
I went to a running camp in Asheville, North Carolina, and it was one of my favorite places in the whole world. It's so amazing.
Asheville is one of my favorite places in the whole world.
So
it
pretty.
Is the best.
It is.
It's, there's so much beer. It's unbelievable.
Well, no one
right,
told me about the beer.
Asheville.
It's where it's so much beer is in Asheville. It's my husband and I went a couple years ago on a trip, and we drank so much beer, we didn't eat. We were so full.
I love that.
Yeah, it was a good day.
All right. So speaking of things that are awesome, what was everybody's favorite moments or episodes on The Walking Dead?
So I have, I'm just going to jump in here.
Jump in,
I have
baby.
Two. I have two, because I didn't know if I wanted to do like my favorite moment or just my favorite female moment. So I just did one of each. So my favorite moment is actually, it's a part that I still out loud laugh at every single time I watch it. And it's in No Sanctuary when they're in the little cargo bin and Maggie's in there and they're all making weapons and they're all talking to them going, it's going to be okay. We're all going to be fine. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like this really intense, very quiet moment where everybody's just like putting their faith in whatever is going to happen. They're going to get out of it. They're not going to die. And then all of a sudden the door like goes flying open and Rick is like, come on, we fight to the fans. Pandemonium has erupted out there and they have no idea what's going on. And they're like, we can do this. Kumbaya, we're the best. It's so funny every Maggie's single just time. Like, oh,
I want that as a ringtone right now. I love you, Kristen. You do a good Rick. That is awesome, Rick Grimes.
When my husband's name is Dave, but Dave and I, we sit there all the time and we'll look at each other like, we fight to the fans! If it's really, really quiet. So it was just, it's my favorite moment in the whole series It just shows just what a bulldozer Rick Grimes is. Like, he will do anything to get his people out. And I love that about him.
Mm-hmm. Such a good description, bulldozer. I love it.
And then my favorite female moment was actually, I think it was season 3 when Michonne was in the prison and she held Judith for the first time. Oh. And it was just her and Judith in the prison cell and she's sitting there and she allows herself to like touch Judith like up to her face and to hold her. And in that moment, especially now knowing what we know about Michonne and what she's lost, you see this like vulnerability and this sense of loss come through her. Mm-hmm. And she's like grieving the loss of her family through allowing herself to just open up to this little tiny human in front of her. And it's such a small, tender little moment. And I just love it.
Yep. 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 Good scene.
Oh, isn't
Danai Gurira, can we just say it right now? Oh, isn't she amazing?
She's beautiful. She's amazing. She's a warrior.
A Marvel badass.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. She was
she's amazing
so
playwright
good.
As well.
Yeah, she's a playwright. Like a yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And she's a fighter for you know, for feminism and for women in Zimbabwe, which is where she's from.
Oh. Yep.
She's
all around. She is amazing.
Danai is all around us. she is wonderful.
The actress.
And who doesn't want her arms, right?
Oh. Yes. She's arms and abs. Yes. The whole
just
thing.
Just her.
The whole thing. She's wonderful. She's not leaving, right?
I fear with, you know, I mean, I don't know that, you know, knowing what we know about what will be coming in that coming season. I don't know how, I mean, I hope that we hang on to her. I think it's going to be a strong female season and I won't go too much into it, but we need her so much. But it makes me fearful because she has so much going right now. You guys mentioned some of it. You know, she's got, you know, she's a playwright. She's made her big debut in this big Marvel movie and people are being more exposed because even though The Walking Dead's a really huge, big show in the world, I meet more people who have never seen The Walking Dead than have, believe it or not,
right?
So yeah, she's now really out there. Like, the people who know The Walking Dead and the comics in the show know who she is clearly, but outside of that, and shockingly there's more than what you think, don't know who she is, and now they do or are getting more exposed to her, and I fear that it's going to start leading her away, and especially with, you know, how the show's kind of going right now and losing some people. I fear for that because she's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, who wants to go next?
I'll go. It's quiet. I'll just jump in. We don't want any white noise here. So it is like the worst. Anytime this subject comes up and people are asking like favorite moments, you know, it is like the worst for me to have to choose because there's so many wonderful moments. I'm gonna pick one that I've talked about before. It's kind of morbid and I hope people don't take it in the wrong way. But for me, it was Lori's death scene with Carl.
Gut punch.
Yeah, that to me, because you know, I'll be the first to admit I had a lot of problems with Lori and not Sarah Wayne Callie.
Sure.
She's a wonderful actress. She's beautiful, and I thought she did an amazing job as an actress. But just the character is my issue, and I don't think that they did her well. Lucy, you mentioned well in the beginning how it's evolved, how the you know, how it's been written for the female characters of the show. And I wish we had Lori longer to see where she I know how, you know, it went in the comics and maybe they kind of followed similarly. I don't really know why, you know, if they decided to move that way for that reason or whatever, but anyway, I don't feel that they did her character service. But so I had some serious issues with Lori. I was not a fan of hers, didn't really enjoy her character, thought she was pretty annoying. But this, to me, leading up to this scene and during the scene really redeemed her in my eyes and really kind of brought it back around for me. And I was able to, you know, because I'm a mom, she was a mom, and it just kind of made me feel like I had empathy for her. I thought, oh my gosh, what if that was me in that situation and that was happening? And then I loved her. I felt like that gave her, for me, and maybe not everyone feels that way, but for me, a redeeming quality back to her that I needed.
I love the way you just said that, because I completely agree, and I had no idea that I completely agreed until you just said that, because that was very well put.
Yeah.
Yay, Rima.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I'm just silently contemplating how harrowing that scene was and trying not to weep.
I know, exactly.
I know that it weighs heavily. I didn't want to be a bummer. I mean, Kristen was so great in bringing up these really awesome positive ones. But, you know, for me, this was a positive. I know it was horrible and it was morbid. A female kind of perspective, and how I ended up loving the character of Lori and thought, no, we can't lose her now. I like her now. So.
I'm sure I read or heard in an interview, maybe even with you guys, I'm not sure, it was Glenn Mazzara that was showrunner at that point, wasn't it? And
yes.
I'm pretty sure that he said he took some of that almost directly from his last exchanges with his own mum before she passed away.
Wow.
In vastly different circumstances, I imagine. But
Let's hope.
Otherwise, jeez. But I think there was an element of truth to it and to the performance as well. And you could really tell the bond between her and Chandler at that point, I think. Like, he always acted the best when he was up against the kind of heavyweight actors. They really brought out a really nice side to Carl. So, yeah, it was just a really powerful scene.
I know. Aww. Sorry. Okay, so let me give my other one.
You're buying the second round.
Yeah, let's bring back a positive one, then I'll give my second one that I have. So that was Kristen, you brought up No Sanctuary, which also has one of my favorite moments, and that was, you know, several favorite moments. That whole episode was just fantastic.
Yep.
In Terminus, when you had the lineup of the fellas at the trough. Oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about crazy. And was that the finale or was it the premiere?
It was
either way.
Premiere.
Okay, so, and then not only that, that was like a huge impact for me for that show. That was amazing. I thought they did a wonderful job. I love the fact that Greg Nicotero, who directed that episode, didn't tell the actors what was going to happen. So their reactions when you see it on camera is genuine. Like their freak out, like, oh hell, this is disgusting, or whatever moments. Those are real genuine reactions from the actors. Because Craig
Nicotero.
I remember
reading that.
Yeah, I didn't tell them. So I love that. I love that about the show. I love how they do that. But then also we had Carol.
Oh
yes.
Praise be.
Yes. Yes. Carol. That was amazing. I mean, I loved her already, but this just like over the top for me. I was like, oh, Carol. I mean, mm-hmm. And maybe that was a lot for, you know, other people can relate and say the same thing. But, you know, I did like where she was going already. In some places, I was slightly annoyed because that was just after the, you know, where she kind of took out Karen and, I'm going to forget his
David.
Name. Oh, yes, Karen the other David. Karen and David. How could I forget?
Which I still mm-hmm. find funny. Sorry, I'm just like, oh, yeah,
it is. It isn't. It isn't. Kind of morbid. But yeah, after she had done what she did with the illness at the prison and things like that, and Rick had exiled her, and then she comes back in this moment. So I love that moment where they all come back together. She's, you know, yes. Despite what happened, she saves her people. And for me, mm-hmm. that's what I love about this show is the people, and of course Carol, oh, yeah. and all her badassery had that moment. So that's it for me.
I like don't ship Rick and Carol, but mm-hmm. I would love for everyone in the world to find someone who looks at them the way he looks at her when he says, "You did that?" When he figures out that it was her that saved them,
yeah.
Because it's just such a perfect moment where he's just like, "Holy shit."
Yeah.
You're just like, yeah, Grimes, she's fucking badass.
Yeah, girls can save the day. Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, you exiled her, huh? Like, so no, completely agree. Such good moment.
Yes, it was.
Now, I think that No Sanctuary is not, it's not only like my favorite episode mm-hmm. of the entire series, it's one of my favorite episodes of television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. 100%
it's a
agree.
Perfect episode
yep.
of television.
Everything.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Completely. It even has like a cute reunion with a baby as well as throats getting slit. And it's just, it literally has something for all the family.
And Carol's saying the whole time, "I don't believe you. I don't believe you. You're full of shit. I don't believe yeah. you." To what's his name in, you know, who, oh, what was his name?
Oh, yeah.
The guy that was in The Lookout.
Oh, the guy with the baseball cap.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. It was something really, it was like, ugh, Vince or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like some kind of douche name. No, Vince isn't a douche name. I'm sorry if anyone is called.
You, like, wow. Like Thad. How, like Thad. Who's named Thad, right? Thad.
Yeah, yeah, Thad. We'll call him Thad.
We'll call him Thad.
Well, my favorite moments, I'll do my non-female focused ones first, and they actually just popped into my head, with Kristen's one about we fight to the fence. I think no one does kind of, I don't know if he means to, but I think Andrew Lincoln does deadpan delivery quite well. So any moment where like Rick is covered in another person's blood and looks up and says, what? Was a really good one. And obviously like the line I was obsessed with for ages was that line in season 3 where Laurie's sort of like, "Rick, why haven't we been working on our marriage, Rick?" And he's like, "I've been busy doing stuff. Things."
We talk about, David and I say that to each other all the time. We're busy doing stuff and things.
Mm-hmm. And things. Stuff. Things.
We do and that too. Like, Dave will go, "Things or thangs?" There's a difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference. I say that a lot too. It's hilarious how that just like becomes a part of your vocabulary, those little phrases. Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably one of those things, if you said it to Andrew Lincoln, he'd be like, I don't, what? Like, why are you saying that? You're like, it's a really good line.
Like, he didn't understand that everybody made fun of the way he said Carl.
It took him such a long time before he finally understood that. I think they had to, like, show him a YouTube video of how it just keeps going. Yeah.
Really? He didn't get that?
No.
Oh, my other...
That's so funny.
On that note, when I saw David Morrissey in Walker Stalker London, I think in 2016, he was saying, you know, the bad lip reading videos, and there's one with the governor and Rick. If you haven't looked them up,
they're great.
Do, it's really funny. And the ending scene is like the governor has a song, and it was either he does jazz hands or it's some singing line where he goes like a boo 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 boo, and David Morrissey was like, "You know, for like 2 years, people have been coming up to me in the street singing this line at me, and I'm just like, I have no idea what this is all about. And today, I finally watched the video, and now I understand." And I was just like, how disarming would that be if you're just like out shopping and someone comes up to you and just starts singing something you don't even recognize at you? I was like, Yeah.
What a strange life would it be to be an actor and have people just come up to you and quote things to you. That would be so strange.
Oh my God. It's so weird. I would just be like, okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks for the random little
total surreal life.
Mm-hmm.
I went for my other favorites. I actually went for my actual two insignificant favorite moments that I love very much. The first is from season 4, episode 9, After, which is the Carl and Rick standalone episode. Only the bit I like the best is at the end when there's a knock at the door and Rick goes up and looks and he starts to smile and says, Carl, it's for you.
Yep.
And it's Michonne.
Yes.
I love that because, and that relates to my other two favorite moments in Clear, which is the episode where I really started to love Michonne, was that episode, are when she's noisily eating potato chips and then says that the mat said welcome, which I'm just like, that's where I would be in the apocalypse, just eating the potato chips. Food. And being like, I don't give a fuck. I know. And then when she gets the cat, she gets that disgusting cat thing for Carl, and she's like, it was just too damn beautiful. And I'm just like, oh, she's great. So those are my two. Because I think Michonne is just so wonderful and so layered. And I think those were two moments that felt true to her, but also gave her a bit of depth that we weren't getting in the kind of angry killing machine mode that she was in when we first meet her.
Yes.
I also think that when you meet Michonne, and I know that this may be a topic of conversation that we would have naturally gotten to anyways, but for me, because I didn't read the comic, I would watch the seasons and then read the comics afterwards up until that moment.
Yeah.
So for me, I was just not a Michonne fan at first because I didn't like Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that she was with Andrea and buddied up with her, it took me a minute to separate that.
Yeah.
Why didn't you like Andrea?
So.
No, I'm dying to know.
It's a loaded question.
Yeah, you know what? I think she was fine. But I just, after her sister died and she had all that anger towards Dale, and then she's like, oh, I'm a tough girl, and she wanted to the way that she was with Shane, and there was something that felt fake about her.
Mm-hmm.
It was like she was trying too hard. And even in her death, and she was like, I just didn't want anybody else to die. And I'm like, come on. You're ruining your own death.
Yes. This is your moment, and this is what's happening.
So she brought the governor and Rick to the table, and she's like, I did that. I'm the best because I'm Andrea. I'm just like, come on. She can be perfectly badass and capable and wonderful like Carol or Michonne without the look at me vibe that she always had. And that was really hard.
Were you disappointed like I was when she had the chance to kill the governor and gave him the night he would never forget? And instead, I'm pretty sure they just boned.
Yeah.
but they,
you know what? I can't even begin to explain the stupidity level that was that entire arc with her and Woodbury and her relationship with the governor, or, you know, whatever he called it. Was it Brian at the time that she called said his name was? And that Philip, that's right. Oh. When was he Brian?
He was Brian after the fall of Woodbury.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So then, every time she would say his name, I'm like, it felt like nails on a chalkboard.
Yes.
And then, when Michonne said, you chose, you deserted a friend for a warm bed or something that. I'm like, yes, that's what you did.
And good hair conditioner.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was so much wrong with her that even the little parts that were right, she still messed up.
Yeah. Well, and it's so disappointing because I'm going to sound like a broken record, but again, like Lucy was stating earlier in the earlier seasons, the female characters just were not, in my opinion, just not very well written. They weren't given very much to do. Like, I did not enjoy Carol's character a lot in the beginning as well.
Yep.
Lori annoyed the hell out of me, mm-hmm. and I did not like Andrea. So, you know, there was a lot happening here, and I was just mad. I was like, there are no good female or great yeah. good female characters. And it wasn't to do with the actresses. Now, I'll admit, I wasn't a huge fan of Lori Holden. I feel like I always, when I have this connection with a character, and I'm just not sure I was totally feeling her, but it's not really her acting job or anything. It was just that damn character yeah. and the lines that she was given. So I don't have any fault with her as a person, just this character. It was just awful. It was, everyone's yeah. making these dumbass decisions. You got Lori flipping cars at one damn walker in the road.
Oh,
Andrea making
right.
Rima, that's because all women are bad drivers. Sorry, did you not get the memo?
Yeah.
Oh my God,
well, I'd like to so prove them wrong because I'm a pretty damn good driver, and I'll put any guy. I'll right? go against any guy.
I forgot about
when
that.
She was in the wheel. Car. Was she looking at a map?
She was looking at a freaking map while she was
yes. like, why are we looking at a map in the dead of night in the apocalypse?
Yeah, I don't know. But there were,
because we're women.
Yeah. We can't do that many things at one time.
We can't do that.
Our lady
it's just
brains
too much. She probably
it.
Got her period halfway through, you know? Like, oh no, she was pregnant. She didn't.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Pregnancy hormones. Pregnancy brain.
I'll tell you what, brain. Without Waze, I don't know how to do anything. So I'm the first one to admit I need Waze at all times. Like to get next door, I need Waze. So
Waze is amazing.
Waze is amazing.
I need to know where the police are at all times.
Oh, hell yeah. Gotta lower that speed.
I need to know where they are so I can avoid them.
Exactly.
I'm like, where are they and what am I doing now
even
that
if
can
I
get me busted?
Even if I don't see the police, I still thumbs up it because I'm like, you know what? He could be hidden. Maybe I don't see the police. Yeah, police are here. I see them.
Yeah.
Everybody act with caution.
Act normal, everyone.
Just
act
in case.
Normal.
He could always come back.
So what do you think is ahead for the show in general? Do you think that
wait, Karen, you didn't give your favorite moment.
Yeah, oh, you guys moments? I mean, Sanctuary was definitely mine. It's so funny that we all, not we didn't all, but I think we all might have agreed that Sanctuary was a badass episode, and one of the reasons
oh, yeah.
why is because Carol's a freaking badass. It was just yep. so great to see her save the day, you know, and, mm-hmm. and be
and
a hero. She's.
It was an episode that didn't skimp on emotional beats as well as, like, horror beats.
Yes. Yes.
I think that made a difference for me, was, like, you oh, tend yeah. to get one or the other. And I think the fact that you got all of them in one was really cathartic. You got, like, the thrill and the horror yep. and the fear, but you also got the, like, everyone's back together, yay,
yep.
vibes.
And
which is, nice.
Which is also, let that be a lesson, Walking Dead, about pace and about,
mm-hmm.
You know, the last 3 years were something of a slog. So just
oh,
so
yeah.
you know, we're none of us picked recent episodes. Although,
you know what? I did like No Way Out. I loved No Way
Remind
Out.
Remind me which one No Way Out was. Yeah.
That was the one where they had to fight their way out of the zombie horde of Alexandria and Carl yes. got shot
yes.
in the eye.
Oh, yeah.
And Rick is carrying Carl in.
That was
and
like 3 years
the moment...
ago.
Was it?
It was a while back.
Maybe two?
It was.
The one episode I wanted to mention, but I didn't have a particularly strong reaction to at the time, and I've completely forgotten its name, is the one where Carol and Maggie are captive by that red-haired actress,
oh,
Alicia
yes.
Witt. Is that
yes.
her name?
Yes.
And it's quite
episode.
A female-heavy episode,
yes.
Because it's two female saviors, and them, and it's almost a bottle episode, isn't mm-hmm. it? And they're
yep.
in that kind of prison room talking, and, you know, Carol's faking, or is she faking a panic attack? And I almost thought that was quite an interesting one that they handed over to kind of strong female actresses for that.
Yep.
And yeah, I wish I'd had time to rewatch it, because I'd kind of intended to and didn't get around to it. Sorry, guys. But yeah, that was an interesting one too.
That was. And you know, anytime Carol, in fact, I'm going to use this as my favorite. This is my favorite thing. I love when Carol puts on her, I'm just a female that just likes to bake.
Yeah.
And she,
I know
and
what's happening in the most wonderful way.
Yes.
Her snappy cardigans.
Oh, it's so yes. great. When she was making her run for it in a car, at leaving Alexandria, going on her own, and she stopped by, I want to say, some thugs from the sanctuary, And she takes mm-hmm. them all down, and she takes them all down oh, yeah. because they underestimate her, because mm-hmm. she is mm-hmm. a woman.
It's just a girl.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Mm-hmm. I'm just... And she had rigged up this whole thing where she was like... was it in her, the arm of her coat?
It's in her sleeve.
Yes.
Literally up her sleeve. Oh,
yeah.
She's so great. So...
She's just awesome.
Is she going to keep being great? Are we going to keep... What season are they going to bring us? Jump in.
We're I'm all kind silent.
Of, yeah.
I think...
It feels like...
Angela King.
I would like them to actually have a woman lead the show.
Yeah.
I think that yes. at this point we have Carol and we kind of have Maggie, and the fact that they're not being utilized in more leading roles and that it's still kind of male driven, even in Fear the Walking Dead. I mean, in Fear the Walking yes. Dead, we had a female leader mm-hmm. and now it's the male has been pushed to the front again. Yeah. You know, in The Walking Dead, the original proper, I love it. Whoever says Walking Dead proper, thank you forever. I love it. But in Walking Dead proper, you know, it's almost like AMC or the showrunners are so scared of putting a female up to the front, like, you know, Maggie, who deserves to be there, Carol, who deserves to be there. They're offering Norman Reedus $20 million to lead the show when he grunts all season.
My God.
You know, so it's just, to me, that's a slap in the face.
Yes.
And it's mm-hmm. just, you know what? You have these really great female characters, three that I could think of off the top of my head in Walking Dead proper, mm-hmm. that aren't being utilized to their full potential.
Mm-hmm. Michonne,
you, Carol, you can't, Maggie. You can't blame Lauren Cohen for wanting to walk.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? I look at it and I'm like, I don't want you to go, but also, what are they giving you to stay? Like, I would just be like, do you know what? Fuck you guys.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I would too.
If I heard that the guy that is in half the episodes with half the lines was getting $20 million and they won't even negotiate a contract with me, I'm out.
Yeah.
Personally, sorry.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. I mean, she had, if you looked, I'm sure somebody's done this. How many words did she say? How many words did Daryl say?
Yeah, mm-hmm. get paid by the dialogue.
Yeah. I mean, if he had five things to say all season long, I'd be surprised. And, you know, not that, no knock on Norman Reedus. I actually have come to understand that man's charisma. But
he smells he so
does,
good.
Oh, he does smell really great. And it, because if,
oh my God.
So I'm totally like backtracking on all this female empowerment stuff and I'm getting all girly about, just get within a few feet of Norman Reedus and I get all girly. Yeah. You know, you totally get it.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't understand it until I was standing next to him and he's like, mm-hmm. come over here, darling, and put his mm-hmm. arm around me. I was like, oh my God, I get it now. Okay.
I didn't understand it till I found out about his incredibly cute relationship with his little black cat that he has. And I was just like,
eyes in the dark. Yeah.
Oh, men and kitties.
Oh,
yeah.
It's just
women and kitties.
And just kitties, to be basically fair, also, I don't know this to be true. It's not like I know any type of inner workings or what the actual contracts and things that were signed. But to be fair, they are trying to stress that, you know, they're kind of, I know it all kind of came out that he's getting this $20 million. And, you know, when Lauren Cohan was kind of being left in the dirt, she hadn't even had her contract negotiated and they're touting that they've given him $20 million and he's supposed to take over the lead. In all fairness, what we're being told, mm-hmm. even though, you know, we don't know yet because we haven't seen the season, is that they're like, you know what? No one is taking the lead in the show. They're trying to keep this as a collaborative effort and everyone is taking the lead and kind of trying to, because they're like, no one person can fill Andrew Lincoln's shoes, and so everybody is stepping in. Yeah. So to be fair, because I totally agree with y'all, if all of that is true, and you know, with what if he's getting the $20 million and it turns out he is going to be the lead, that's totally going to piss me off, because I think that Lauren Cohan did totally get shorted out and I was pretty pissed about that as well. But so we can be fair and not knock the males or anything, because we don't want to do that. There are lots of good guys out there. let's just wait. I'm trying to keep an open mind about the whole thing and hope that what they're saying is true. Because I don't know. I feel like we've kind of been led astray sometimes when they tell us, you know, mm-hmm. oh, the season's going to be so fantastic and it's going to be great. Wait till you watch it. And then all of a sudden you see it, or at least for me and my experience, I'm totally let down. So I'm going to keep an open mind again. Walking Dead.
I can appreciate what you're saying there. I think it was just maybe for me the 1-2 punch of the killing off of the female lead on one show and then the news about and I don't know if he got the money. All I know is that, you know, a contract was trying to be renegotiated. Kari Payton was the only male that publicly came to her defense.
Yes, Kari.
You know, and so it just, there was just all these little things that were just adding up into something. Something is askew here, and it didn't sit right with me, like in my heart.
Yeah, and that's totally valid. Totally get it. I'm trying to be balanced.
But I see what you're saying, and I totally agree. I see what you're saying. I totally understand what you're saying. And I wouldn't, and you know, I don't knock Norman Reedus for it. I mean, you get paid.
I think it's interesting. I don't know if this counts as a spoiler or not. Don't listen for the next 10 seconds if you don't want to know anything about season 9. They've cast a couple of fairly well-known people in season 9, people with quite big careers. And I find that really interesting because The Walking Dead has shied away from that a little in the past. Like, it's made big names out of the people in it. But it tends to be maybe TV stars. But one of the characters...
I know what you're going to say.
One of the characters is... from an actor who's just been in the most recent Fantastic Beasts film, which is quite a big worldwide film. And then there's also Samantha Morton is joining the cast, and she's been a well-respected actress for... She was also in Fantastic Beasts, actually. They've just kind of gone into the Harry Potter franchise and just taken, you know, whoever's there. But I thought that was quite interesting that they've gone down that route. I wonder if that does mean they're leaning more into an ensemble. But I guess we'll see.
Woo. Well, Michael Cudlitz, from what I know, Michael Cudlitz was almost not cast because they thought he would have been too big of a name for the show.
Really?
At the time.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I saw an interview with him, and he said he almost didn't get the role because they thought he might have been too familiar of a face to join the cast.
Interesting.
And I can't imagine anybody else, Abraham.
No,
he's perfect in that. I mean, they do cast well. Like, there's rarely been a casting where I've been like, that's not them. Apart from maybe Andrea. But it's, there's stuff. Yeah, generally, I would say they've picked people who are very true to those roles, particularly from the comic books. And it's interesting to me that they're being less shy about casting people who are more established. So I don't know what that means or what it nods to or what's going to happen with that. But it's quite interesting.
It is. I'm excited because it looks like a totally different role for the guy who played Jacob Karolski in Fantastic Beasts. Like, I can't figure it out in the previews. But it doesn't look like he's going to be some happy-go-lucky, you know, I like being in a suitcase kind of guy.
Yeah, he looks... I just love baking. Yeah, he looks kind of... It's Dan Fogler, right? Or Fogler. I'm not sure if it's Fogler or Fogler. I think he's a pretty interesting actor, so I'm intrigued to see... He doesn't fit with any of the kind of easily recognisable types, I don't think. You know, he doesn't look like... an evil Negan. He doesn't quite look like a sort of leading man, Rick Grimes sort of thing, but I'm interested to see where he fits into it all.
He also doesn't look like somebody that's going to be like in the background.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm excited. He's what I'm looking forward to the most, I think, in this upcoming season is where he's going to fit, just because, you know, Lucy, you know, I'm like you. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, so I'm excited.
Yes. My dream is that Andrew Lincoln will now get a role in one of the Fantastic Beasts films because he is such a Harry Potter fan. Mm-hmm. Like, he loves it. I read this interview with him about how he was so happy to be narrating Quidditch through the ages because his kids really like it and he likes doing all the voices. And I was like, Dumbledore or something.
Yeah, he has to be like one of the last British actors to not be in in the Harry Potter franchise, right? In some form.
He said, he said he thinks he's the only one.
Yeah, he's like the last one standing. So he needs to. They need to utilize him when he's free now.
I'm just, yeah. I'm. It's a funny thing with Maggie and Rick. Actually, this is a question. Again, listeners will probably shout. Do we know that Lauren Cohen's definitively leaving, or is it still being kept ambiguous as to, like, you know, she's only in X number of episodes, but she, you know, vague shit.
From the news that I read, they were, and this is coming from her, an interview with her, and I don't have it in front of me, so I can't quote it verbatim, but she had stated at Comic Con that it, you know, she said Maggie's story is open-ended with The Walking Dead. So it doesn't necessarily mean that she's, we know she's going to be in a handful of episodes. I don't know if it's only going to be in the first half or the second half, if they're going to sprinkle it out. I don't know of that.
Yeah.
But she acts like it's going to be open-ended for her. So I don't know if they're, you know, because we know that she's signed on for this other show and it is moving forward. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if they're hoping.
It looks so good.
Yeah, it doesn't look that bad. Yeah. Really. So, you know, I don't know if they're hoping that she can do both, or, you know, it, you know, that she can come back. I think they're just keeping it open and they're not really willing to commit. Now, I think we've probably heard things like that before. So, you know, I wouldn't want to get anyone's hopes up, but at the same time, that's what we know. And that was coming from Lauren Cohan.
Yay.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. It would be nice if we just checked in, you know, once in a while. Yeah. Just check she's doing okay, you know.
Still at the Hilltop? Okay, good. Next
Still at Hilltop. How are you doing, girl? You doing well? Good.
So, let me ask you gals another question. Moving on the agenda. If you like The Walking Dead, do you have any recommendations for other things that listeners might enjoy? For recommendations for, like, kick-ass women. So I'm happy to go first. I have a couple of recommendations. One of them is super old. The other two are fairly new. So the super old one is a television show that is maybe in my pantheon of the best television shows ever in the history of the universe. And that is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a Joss Whedon production. And he specifically wrote it because he wanted to see what would happen if he created something where the damsel in distress was actually the hero. And we got Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It is an amazing, amazing television show. If you haven't seen it, go back and see it. And if you have a teenager, male or female, in your life, go ahead and show them Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's my first thing. My second thing is a podcast called Hysteria, and it is on the Crooked Media Podcast Network, and it is an amazing show hosted by the ladies. It's wonderful. A woman named Erin Ryan is the host of the show, and they have a rotating cast of characters, and it's super fun, and it's just great, and it's just women talking. It's awesome. And finally, a book that I read that has blown my mind during the past year. And in fact, we're going to talk about it with our Podcastica family. And that is a book called The Power by...
I have it on my Kindle right now. I'm excited.
That's our book club.
It's our book club.
I didn't know. Okay, I'm on. I'm in. All good.
Oh, have you read? Has anybody read it?
I haven't started it yet. No, but it's on my Kindle.
Just to give you a little tease, and I don't worry, I won't spoil anything. It is a book that sort of shifts the power dynamic in interesting and fascinating ways, and it is beautifully written. So the language that Naomi Alderman is the author, and the language she uses she's a gorgeous writer, and it's so interesting. It held my attention from beginning to end, and it is one of the best books I've read in recent years, and I'm a big reader, so there you go. Those are my recommendations.
Amazing. Love it.
Rima, what's your up?
All right. Well, I had a couple here, and they're mostly TV movie related, but I love your book recommendation. That's amazing. I actually, the first time before this even became chosen for our book club, I say it like I'm on there all the time with the book club thing, because I keep forgetting to read the damn book. but I actually heard about this when you first recommended it, and I was really anxious to pick it up. So thank you for that, Karen.
Yay!
So my first recommendation is Game of Thrones. I mean, yep. Just ooh, in yeah. general for the strong female characters, ooh, ooh. You know, mm-hmm. And I think we're all, do we even have to say it, how big of fans just the four of us are, clearly.
Yeah.
Of the
I've show. Mm. I've never heard yeah. of it.
I've seen your 10-page notes, Missy, so I know better.
I know better. Lady Kristen.
I know better, but you know, if you love strong female characters, I know even if you don't watch it, you've heard of it. So if you haven't watched it, go watch it. I highly recommend it, especially if you're wanting some kick-ass women. And keeping up with the kick-ass women, some oldies but goodies. I love Sarah Connor in the Terminator movies yep. franchise. Linda Hamilton is absolutely amazing. You know, I watched the Terminator way back, the first one, whenever I was little, and then of course Terminator 2 when she came back and she was like cut and badass and, you know, just taking names. Love that. And then Sigourney Weaver in the Aliens franchise as Ripley. I mean, I grew up on yep. all of that. Maybe that's why it sticks with me so much, you know, these strong female characters that I looked up to whenever I was little, so that's probably why they stick out to me. But if you haven't seen any of those folks, I highly recommend them.
Great recommendations, Kristen.
Well, one of them is a television show. It was probably one of my favorite television shows this year. But it's Colony. Colony just got canceled.
Oh, no.
Sorry. And I am devastated over it. I'm really hoping it gets picked up somewhere else, especially with the way that the show is going. I thought that their third season was their best season that they've had. I can't say enough good things about this show. Josh Holloway and Sarah Wayne Callies are the leads.
They were so
Sarah
good.
Wayne Callies is everything you wanted Lori to be and more. I mean, she's just this awesome woman who takes on the resistance movement, and she's still a mom, and she's, you know, and then she's got this partner and this guy named Broussard, who's played by, I think his name's like Tori Kittles or something, but to me he reminds me of like a young Denzel Washington, almost, just with the way that he like kind of acts and stuff like that. Anyways, the show is so good. If you haven't seen it, which obviously a lot of people aren't because it got canceled, it's so good. And it's on Netflix, I believe. So, you know, the first two seasons are on Netflix. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. A book series that I really like is the Graceling series. I don't know if anybody's ever read it.
No.
It's the books, they're called Graceling, Fire, and Bitter Blue. And it's just about kind of this, it's like a fantasy, dystopian, I'd say more fantasy sci-fi. But there's things called Gracelings, and if you have, there's people called Gracelings, and it's all in your eyes, and if you have a different color eyes it means that you have like these special powers, and it's all about like people that had to try and hide it and then coming into it. And then there's a book called Fire and Bitter Blue that kind of go with it, but Fire it's in the same world, but it's a completely different story, and then they bring both of those stories together in the book Bitter Blue. I haven't read it in a really long time, but it's one of those, when I was thinking about, you know, kind of female driven books, it's this series, and it's all female lead characters, and each book has a separate female character that they all come together in the end. It's very, very cool if you haven't heard of it or read it.
Amazing.
That is great. Graceling.
Writing that down.
Yeah, Graceling. Very, very good.
Awesome.
It's like young. It's like that, you know, genre. It's young adult, but everybody reads it anyways.
Yes. I love the young adult genre.
I do,
by
too.
The way.
I've just gotten back into it, and oh my god, I've missed. Like, I just read Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, which was the film for Love, the book for Love, Simon, the film, and it was so sweet. Oh. And another one called In Other Lands by Sarah Rhys Brennan, which is kind of young adult, but it's fantasy as well. And I was just like, oh, I need to read more of this. Mm-hmm. It's so much more
There's
fun.
Good stuff out there. You know what? Hunger Games. That is another young adult series about a kick-ass female.
Yes, Katniss.
Oh, kick-ass. Yeah.
Loved Hunger Games.
And the Divergent books. The Divergent books are amazing. Mm-hmm. The movies are garbage. But the books are really, really good.
Yep. Well, my recommendations are, they've kind of changed in the last 10 minutes. I've sort of been sitting thinking about them. The podcast I'm going to recommend is A Love It or Hate It. It's I love it. My partner hates it. It's called My Favorite Murder with Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark.
You're a murderino.
I am a murderino.
Love that podcast so
me
much.
True crime. True crime, people can take it or leave it. But I think for women in particular, My Favorite Murder is really important. And I tweet a lot about why I think that. So that's a long rant for another day. But if you do like true crime and women... supporting other women, willing to learn about other women, and a really cute female friendship. It's a really good podcast to listen
100%
to.
100% agree.
Yep.
For a show, I was thinking post-apocalyptic. I really enjoyed, sadly it got cancelled just a couple of months back. I really enjoyed Last Man on Earth. I'm a big fan of Will Forte, and there are some really amazing female characters in it as well. It's quite a... kind of humorous but heartfelt look at what life would actually be like after an apocalypse. If you're into that at all, definitely go for that. Books wise, I've got two. One I've recommended to people in the past, which is The Passage by Justin Cronin. An amazing trailer came out for that at Comic-Con, which I'm very excited about. Jason, hint, hint, we should do a Passage podcast, just saying. And the other one I read that has been out for quite a while, actually, but I'd never actually got around to reading was Station 11 by, I think it's Emily St. Clair or St. John. And it's, again, post-apocalyptic, set in Toronto to start with. And it goes back and forth between post virus and pre-virus, and it's just quite a nice read. I read it on a plane journey, I think, and it was just a nice one to kind of tick the time away. So if you're into your post-apocalyptic traveling theater troupe, if those words float your boat, go for that.
Did they make Station 11 into a movie with Ethan Hawke?
They may have. I'm gonna
Google. Or am
Google
I thinking
that.
Of something different? Maybe it's Station 13.
Are you thinking
of
the Station Agent?
No.
To be fair, I've already seriously confused myself today with all these bloody Christopher Robin films. I was like, oh, the one with Domhnall Gleeson in it. You're like, no, there's another one. I'm like, what? How many of these are there? It's Emily St. John Mandel. Sorry, Emily St. John Mandel, for getting your name wrong. I don't think it's been made into a film yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's coming up, because it's the kind of thing that's got film written all over it. So I would recommend that to any Zed heads out there.
Awesome. By the way, you mentioned Toronto. I have one quick little Toronto isn't Karen stupid story. I was at a dinner with it was a hockey team dinner, and I was there with an NHL player, a hockey player from Toronto. And I was sitting right next to him at dinner. What am I going to talk to a hockey player about? I don't really know that much or anything about hockey. So I'm like, I'm dying for things to talk to him about. So I said, Toronto, huh? I've always wanted to go there. Did you know, I read a Margaret Atwood book, and she's my favorite author. Ever since then, I've been dying to go to Toronto. You must love Margaret Atwood. She's the toast of Toronto, isn't she? And he looked at me like I had two heads. He's like this 19-year-old hockey player. And I told him, oh, Margaret Atwood, she's the toast of Toronto. And he's...
I love what she has to say about female rights, you know? He's just like, what?
Oh, my husband loves that. Every time we see... He plays for the Sharks. And every time we see him score a goal for... the Sharks, David's always like, there's that Margaret Atwood lover scoring another goal.
Hey, David, you don't know that he didn't go home and read The Handmaid's Tale. You don't know that Karen didn't open up his mind.
So he could have opened up
Margaret
a whole
Atwood's
new world
bits.
For him.
And he probably read that book and was like, that woman was the weirdest woman I've ever met. If this is what she's reading.
If this is what she thinks Toronto is.
No, maybe now he's like the ultimate feminist. And he's like, the scales have fallen from his eyes. And he's like, oh my God, there's a whole world out there. It's not just about hockey.
Yeah. I think you did a good thing, Karen. I wouldn't beat yourself up.
All right. Moving on. Rima, do we have any news this week about The Walking Dead?
We do have a couple of news items. Thank you, Karen. The first one that we have is from Entertainment Weekly. This was taken from an interview with Angela Kang. So let's keep up with the female-centric thing here. She says the goal of the season was not to just pay homage to that character. We're talking about Rick, the character that brought us into the show. Rick Grimes has been somebody that people have loved watching. Just love this character's journey. He is this man who is looking for his family and found them and lost many of them, but has fought on and on. And I think that's meant a lot to people. We really want to be respectful of that character and send him off in a great way. So that was the charge for us this season. She also notes that the other big job for the creative team in a world without Rick is to continue to, quote, she says, tell the story of the people going forward, because it's never been a story just about this one man. It started with him. But it's always been a story about this group of people that have each other's backs, that help each other survive, that help each other be more human. And that's the story that we'll continue to tell.
We should have invited her on this week.
Oh, we should have. Yeah, that'd been awesome, huh?
Next time.
All right, the next time. Women of Podcastica episode, we'll invite Angela Kang on and perfect. Ask her all about these burning questions.
Fingers crossed. Yes. Heck yeah. Okay. What
do you agree with that?
Agree with?
Do you agree with her saying that the show has never been about just the one man?
I don't know if she's referring more to like the show or the comics. I haven't read all the comics, but I feel like it, from a comic perspective, from what I do know, talking to people who have read the comics, it seemed either mostly about either Rick or Carl. It seemed like that's their stories, like. And but I mean, for the show, for me, because that's what I have the more experience with, I kind of do agree a little bit with what she says, because that is a big draw to me for The Walking Dead, is this it's the people, it's this group, especially that core group that we grew to love in the beginning, most of them.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think it's interesting because he was our way in.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing, is you will always have been taken into that world through Rick's eyes. I think it's the same in lots of kind of major franchises or great stories. Mm-hmm. You know, the character who's kind of the audience avatar, who's the person who stands in for us, is the one that you become the most attached to. So I think losing that will be quite profound for the show. But for me, in a weird sort of way, I think losing Carl is more profound. Not in terms of the actor, but in terms of the show changing. I think cutting off that line was more of a shock in a way than Rick fading into the distance, if that makes sense. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if what she says kind of comes to pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So moving on, next quick little item that we have is from comicbook.com. This was taken from an interview with Danai Garcia and Alicia, I don't know how it's pronounced, sorry.
I've given up trying to.
Yeah, I hear it both ways, person. So I apologize for butchering her name. Alicia Debnam Carey, they're both from Fear the Walking Dead. So Fear the Walking Dead stars Danai Garcia and Alicia Debnam Carey say comedy and unexpected pairings lie ahead in the back half of season 4. I think there's a lot of comedy, there's a lot of drama, there's a storm. The stakes are really high. I think for something to be funny, it needs to be very dramatic, very hard to overcome, Garcia says at San Diego Comic-Con. We have to overcome nature, that's hard to do. We have to wait until the storm passes to keep going and funny things happen. Characters will come up and they bring so much to the show and a different perspective of how to survive, and that really adds to the second half. It just fills the second half with so much life because we lost so much. Some of those characters will pair off and mix, making for really interesting pairings to come, unexpected pairings that drive a lot of tension, added Debnam Carey. I guess one thing particularly is that because of the loss of Madison and Nick, Alicia is now the only remaining member of the Clark family, she said. And so that allows her to finally be her own person. And I mean, it's a harrowing and awful place to be for her, but it allows her to find her own narrative, which is very exciting. That's it.
It must have been a difficult last half of that season.
Yeah. It was.
I mean, I heard so many great things about the prior season, and
Jason was so into it and so excited.
Oh, guys, Jason was a broken man by the end of it.
Yeah, he's still just a little bit broken, to be honest.
Yeah.
Usually I'm like the negative. I don't think either of us is positive or negative. I think I tend to be more picky, but the last episode I was just like, oh my God, Jason, are you okay, man? He was just like, he took it real hard. I don't blame him. Like, the thing is, I know when you're podcasting, sometimes you play devil's advocate. And I think I was doing that a little bit, but it was difficult. It felt, it let down the rest of the season, I think, what they chose to do in that final episode. And I'm quite sad about it as well, to be honest. Yep. I think it's going to be a different show, but I feel that way about the main show now as well, is they're both going to be different shows when they come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is scary, but potentially good. I don't know.
I am one of the people in the minority that I love Fear the Walking Dead right now. I love it. I think that the front half of season 4 was my favorite of the entire series.
Oh, it was interesting. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that's just me. I've loved it every single moment of every single episode.
Well,
you know, I wish that they didn't do what they did.
Yeah.
Of course.
But yeah.
But been great.
As somebody who only saw the first episode of season 4, I loved it. That guy, what was his?
John Dory.
Oh my God. He was wonderful, and I was like, now I'm going to continue just because of that guy.
Yeah.
He's right? Great.
Yep.
How would you guys feel if it was like Lauren Cohen gets like £200 an episode, but John Dory is just going to turn up and be ambiently around for £3 million an episode? I'd be like, yeah, I'm fine with that. What are you complaining mean, like, about, Lauren?
See, I just imagine him now just walking on the screen and just walking off.
Yeah.
eating candy
in the background.
Meanwhile, like, Lauren Cohen's reciting Hamlet and, like, doing a one-woman performance, and they're just like, oh, can you get out of the way? We can't see John.
That's funny. He is good. I think we're going to see really more good things from him, too, in this next up-and-coming half.
And shout out to Laura Willie Swink for designing the John Dory fan club t-shirts, which Garrett Dillahunt himself complimented on Instagram.
Oh, yes, he did.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yay. That's how nice of a guy he is.
Any more news, Rima?
That is it.
Beautiful. How about listener moans, groans, and grunts?
Brains. I got some questions. For people.
Ooh.
I got some stuff from the Zedhead thread.
Nice.
Okay, so there's two kind of serious questions. My lovely pal Derek, who I do comic talk with, and we're like the Brit contingent of that particular show.
I love Derek.
He asks, and we'll do this as like quick answers from all four of us. If you could permanently host another podcasting show, which would it be? And which upcoming show do you most want to cover for Podcastica from episode 1? So start with Kristen.
Definitely Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to do any other show. And you said from episode 1?
Yeah, so like starting a new show right from the beginning, what would we want Podcastica to cover?
Oh, Colony. But Colony. I can't do that. Oh. Are you talking about just any new show?
Derek says upcoming show.
Upcoming. Okay. Well, I would actually really love it if there was a Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Yes.
Only because it is so. I'm gonna swear. I don't know if we're allowed to.
No,
on
do
here,
it, man.
It's so fucking hard to get through that fucking show.
Yeah.
That I feel like a podcast would
help. Yes. I'll do it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would totally do it.
I'll guest. We'll all do it. It'll be great.
I would love that. I would love that.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Oh my God.
You're witnessing the birth of it here, folks.
That Derek, would be amazing. You handmaid. Glorious midwife.
In what his, about, under his eye.
Yeah. He'll look what he has brought into the world.
Yeah.
Karen, how about you? If you could permanently host another, what would it be?
God, now I'm all about The Handmaid's Tale.
We can take that as an answer. I can take that. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
Rima?
Permanently host another, like an existing or creating a new one? Do we know? Is there a different?
Derek says, just says upcoming show.
So the beauty that exists within co-hosting with my awesome male co-host, Sean, is that we don't have just like one show that we podcast on, like similar to like Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead in Westworld and things like that. We do multiple shows. So I don't, we just picked up Castle Rock, the new show from Hulu. That's the Stephen King centric.
Yeah.
So in case anyone doesn't know, I'm going to put it out there. Promote us a little. But the beauty of it is that we started out as like our bread and butter, I always call it, is Stranger Things. That's how we started. Yep. And it is still Stranger Things centric, and our name of our podcast is centered around that. However, we thought, well, we want to keep evolving and keep going and do different things and kind of keep in that same kind of genre. So the beauty of what we've been allowed to do with the Godfather's Blessing is continue on in the Podcastica network with multiple shows. So I kind of already get to do that. So I'm kind of already living the dream just a little bit. I get to
so
talk
great.
About multiple things. And I'm, you know.
Queen.
Yeah. Oh.
You know what,
Rima, I love your Legion podcast.
Thanks.
Too.
Oh my gosh, it's an amazing show, and it's so much fun to talk about. And you know, Jason and I have a really good time with that. It's amazing. And all the other shows, I'm just happy to be asked to guest sometimes. I'm so not qualified to talk about how Westworld. No, forget it. Oh, Karen, please. Girl, I heard you whenever, because you and Jason did, what was it, like a summary episode that you guys did
on
the Didcast of season
one?
Yeah,
gosh,
that was so amazing. Again, well, the female's perspective, you were so amazing on that. So
thanks.
I hope that you guessed on that.
You know what? Sometime. It got more complicated. And
it did.
And it's so different when you're watching it and you're just sort of watching it for fun versus watching it as a podcaster, a potential podcaster. Whole different experience.
Yes. Absolutely. And I respect that and I totally get that. But I don't, and if that's your feelings on it, because you're just, you know, I don't want you to think that you can't do it, because I believe that you could do anything. So, you know, all of us have that faith in you. But if you choose to not do it, that's okay. I certainly wouldn't want to push you to do it and say, oh, you just have to do it. But, because I totally understand that, because I feel it as well. But you can
sisters,
do anything. You're amazing.
Sisters support each other. This is exactly what we were talking about. Sisters do not tear each other down. We are.
Yep.
Right. God, this is exactly right, people. Women
love support
each other.
Women.
And stop telling us that we don't, because we do.
Yep. Well, and I love that we can even disagree, because Chris and I, we've probably bumped heads a little bit on because we're very, well, all of us are very strongly opinionated on things, and we probably bumped heads and maybe not always seen eye to eye with things. And I think that it's okay to do that, and not, and I'm glad that we can all do that and not be fearful of, you know, well, now I've pissed someone off, or they're pissed at me, and you know, and then be so catty, you know, that
oh my gosh, it takes so much more to piss me off.
I'm sure.
And then watch out.
But I love that. I love all
and
you
I
guys.
Love
you.
You
guys are
Rima,
all brilliant.
Rima, I love you to the moon and back, man. You are a great, great, great friend to have. I'll tell you that.
Stop it. I'm gonna get really emotional.
So well, on that really serious note, we have had one. It's quite a serious and it's quite a political question. Ooh. From the Zed Heads group. So I think we just have to pay it the due respect it deserves, guys.
I can't wait for this.
It's an old kind of political debate question. I believe you have it in America. It's called Screw, Marry, Kill.
Yep, that is true.
And I'd like to thank who's given us Cat Craft, has given us some suggestions.
I am not surprised. That's
the
amazing.
Original suggestion came from Megan Dively Lehman. So I'm just going to put a couple out there, because, you know, we could go on all night. Insert your own jokes there. Yeah. So, open for discussion. Screw, Marry, Kill. Merle, Eugene, and Dwight.
Oh, God.
Okay, all right, I got it. I would screw Dwight because he seems tender.
I would
marry. Wait, it was Eugene, Dwight, and
Merle.
Merle. I would marry Merle only because I'm pretty sure that that's the safest route.
Yeah.
And I would kill Eugene. Yeah, yeah, he needed to die a long time ago.
He redeemed himself.
He sabotaged the bullets.
Sabotage the bullets. Negan. I know. Everybody needs to have killed Negan. Negan apparently has a has an invisible bubble around him that he's unkillable. But he, you know what? That is not just Eugene.
Rick slit his throat. And I know.
It's like, yeah, it's just a scratch.
Karen, what would you do with Eugene in that situation? We've got Eugene, Dwight, and Merle on the table, so to speak. What would you do?
I don't think, you know what? It would be really weird to screw him. I mean, that would be weird.
In the self-help section.
I'm going to go with screw just because it's the weirdest answer I could think of. Because that would be weird.
That's amazing.
You're all very like.
It'd be very.
No,
clinical.
I love it. I love it.
No, I would make him talk to me too.
So, we're
seeing a whole new side, and I love it.
Is it?
Would we? And where would it be? Merle or Dwight that got killed?
Merle.
Yeah.
I'd marry Dwight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd totally marry Dwight. Dwight's a fixer-upper.
Yeah.
Sorry, you know?
That's true. Okay. Yeah.
That's okay. You see how I'm asking the questions here, so I don't actually have to commit to anything.
That's
it's really good.
Good.
Rima, for you, I'm going to give Abraham, Shane, Tyrese.
Why did I get different people? Abraham, Shane, and Tyrese. Because I had all this planned out for the other fellas.
Oh, well, tell us your other one, then. No, tell us the other, and then we'll move on to this
okay,
one.
Well, so I would screw Merle with, probably double layer on the condoms. Because we know that he's had the clap.
Oh, no, we do. Yeah. Yep. Like factually, but, yeah, riddled
but
with
CDs. I think Merle would be fun. He looks adventurous, and I think it'd be a good time.
He'd
That'd
be
a good
only one hand.
That's okay. I'm all right with that. As long as you gotta take the blade off. But yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay with the one hand. But I think that would be
no blades in the bedroom.
Yeah, I think it'd be a wild ride in the sheets that night. So I'm okay with that. I would marry Dwight because I really like how his story kind of evolved, and we got to see a lot more of him with his storyline with his wife Sherry. Yeah.
They love each other. He's a good husband.
Yeah, that was touching. Mm-hmm. I was really touched by so many moments with Dwight. So I would marry Dwight, and I would kill the fuck out of Eugene.
After I screwed him.
Yes, you could. Yes, after you're done with him, Karen. Then yes.
I hope there's some really like men's rights people listening to this. Like those damn women. How dare they talk about men like this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's not nice, is it? I'm with Rima. I would. I think that would be my. Yeah, I think Dwight. You know, he'd bring the beer and the nachos or whatever it is,
the
tortilla
pretzels.
Chips. You know, he'd bring that. He would make you those little like figurines and stuff. It'd be quite cute. You know, you'd probably have a conversation with them. Merle, for, you know, the sake of having a story to tell, why not? Yes. And Eugene, horrifyingly, I used to date a guy with the same name, so he's getting binned. He's getting put right over the cliff. Sorry. So yeah, that's, yeah, that would be my choices. The other, I might actually, so Kat's given us two trios. And I think you're right. I think the one with Abraham, Shane, and Tyrese is actually too good. So I'm going to finish with the other trio that she gave us, which was dun dun dun, Negan, the governor, or Gareth from Terminus.
Oh no!
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
I'm just going to go. I'm going to go
the hell
right
out
in
of Gareth.
Yeah,
well,
amen.
Can, you know, I would.
Oh my God, have you
know,
seen
I
that
would,
actor?
Andrew J. West.
I see, but oh I would. Right, God. I would argue marry him because
you could screw him all the time.
No, where does it say that you don't? Yeah,
because he won't eat you.
Yeah, well, he's so organized. Did you see the way he is with that clipboard? Like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's a man
very
who has
organized
his shit together.
Yeah, we could have him organize
so
our closets after we
marry
screw him sideways.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, why not? We can. I just don't know why you'd even consider.
Be too tired to organize.
What about good old Philip with his gilet and his one eye? What would we? Where would you place him on the screw, marry, kill scale?
Oh, he's the guy that I. He's the guy that I screw because I'm waiting. Negan is the only guy that I kill. I mean, and the way that I'm killing him is with Lucille.
Yes.
I'm giving him a little Glenn party. Here's a little Glenn redemption.
Yeah, and gonna leave him behind for the animals to eat.
Yep. Yeah. Little sky burial for you there, pal.
Are we? Is that a consensus then? Are we all the same, or would anyone marry the governor?
He's very authoritarian. If you like that sort of thing,
he's got some. His man cave is very questionable.
Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't
he has
know
a duster.
That.
You know, he used to be a doctor.
True.
I would. You know what? If he was in the Doctor Who realm, I would totally screw or marry him. Yeah. Any doctor, really.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I'm with you on that, actually.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah. And can it specifically be David Tennant?
Absolutely.
Okay, oh. Well, by that logic, I would marry Negan because I would change him into Denny Duquette.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Now we're just talking the actors.
I know, but I can't talk about the characters because they're all horrible.
I'm just glad that we managed to talk about something so politically volatile without coming to blows about it.
Oh, thank God.
Thanks, guys, for a really respectful discussion.
We really have. And I feel that we showed the proper love to the men's in the show.
Well, we love men.
Okay, but I just want to say one thing that we should just all have a moment of silence for Jason Momoa really fast.
Oh. Why? What?
What?
No, because we talked about the men. I don't know. And I'm always thinking about
him. Oh.
Okay. Is it a little moment of silence because you didn't bring him up? So we have to apologize.
Yeah, I just feel that's like, it. Yeah. That's all.
God,
you're scaring me. I'm with Kristen. I feel like it's not been a day unless you've had your Jason Momoa reflective 3 minutes.
He's fantastic. Yeah,
that's it.
He's fantastic in every way. In every particular, he's fantastic.
He just seems like he would be so much fun.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I would screw Mary and kill him all in the same day.
and he would love it.
Yeah. And we didn't even, you know, John Dory just appreciation. And you know, there's a lot of beautiful women in The Walking Dead as well.
Oh,
I mean, I'm just going to put that out there. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God. Got a lot of love for Tara. Got a lot of love for those ladies as well. So.
Polly McIntosh. Love her.
Yeah. She's great.
Amazing.
I might kill her, though.
It depends what kind of mood she was in, you know. I'd be like,
except now she goes by Anne, so I like her a little bit more.
She's a reformed character
who speaks in complete sentences.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Oh, God, yeah, exactly. Really, really. I mean, you know, cute and all that for about a minute, and after that, it was just annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, ladies, I think we did it to it. I think we can say that is our show, episode 319. Thanks to everybody for listening.
Yeah, yes. Thanks, everyone.
So, where can you find us all if you want to? You can find me, Karen, on The Walking Dead cast. Rima?
You can find me on Strange Indeed on the Podcastica Network.
You can find me on We Have to Go Back, Lost Revisited podcast. And as for House Podcastica, negotiations are still underway, and we're hoping to be back with new episodes as soon as possible.
Yes. I can't wait for that, Kristen. I want to come on and discuss the next season with you.
I'm going through serious withdrawal, and I welcome that.
We will.
New season, you and me, girlfriend.
Winter is coming. as for me, you can find me on Fear the Walking Dead cast, which is back not this week but next. And if you like pictures of cats, anecdotes about medieval studies, and general chit-chat. You can also get me on Twitter at Eclipit, which is Y-C-L-E-P-I-T. And that is me.
Amazing.
Fantastic. I didn't know you were on Twitter. I'm going to follow you, girlfriend.
She is on Twitter. She's so brilliant.
Hey. It's a lot of angry ranting about...
I like all the rants, man.
It's interesting.
If you'd like to call us, you can call us at 650-485-DEAD. That's 650-485-3323.
You can email us at brains@podcastica.com.
You can find us on the web at facebook.com/deadcast.
And be sure to check out our other shows at podcastica.com.
All right. Thanks to all of my amazing co-hosts today. This was so fun. I really...
This was the best.
I think we should do this more. I gotta say it.
Yeah.
It was... Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too. So. Agreed.
100%.
Not that we're hinting, Jason, but you know, the women have spoken.
I think he'd welcome the break.
Speaking of, has Jason come back from the garden yet, or is he still out there? Anyone check?
He's still looking at the flowers. I'll go.
We'll see.
Maybe before Fear the Walking Dead comes back, but you know.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Mark Anthony Miranda.